You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. You can also call the church office at 913-681-1635. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
There is to be an anticipation, generation to generation to generation, an anticipation that Jesus could step in on the scene and rapture the church. Why? We're going to talk about it. As we get into this a little bit further, we'll talk very clearly about it. It's very important for us. Because to try and do all these calculations, to try and think that we can figure out when Jesus is going to call us up, is the very thing that we cannot predict. And if we could predict, then that means if we could count the days, then we're not talking about the same thing, because Jesus said that we can't know the day or the hour. So there's two different events we're talking about: the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Two distinctly separate events that occur. And so we want to keep that in perspective as we go through this. He says, man, watch and be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. We don't know exactly when it would be. I guess the question is really, are we living with some element of expectation? Jesus starts to talk to those that would be following along with him, this group that's following along with him. And the Lord said to them, this is after Peter says to him in verse 41, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. You know, the Bible says that you and I will rule with him as kings and priests unto our God. That's what we will be doing as followers. We're not going to be sitting around on clouds playing, you know, doodling around with harps or something, you know. I understand there are harps there. There is reference to that in Revelation 2. I get that. But that's not what we're just, you're not just sitting around like bumps on pickles, just kind of, yeah, well, I guess eternity's pretty cool, you know. I mean, there's going to be stuff to do. You're going to be entrusted with things. There's going to be things to do. And God's going to give you things to do. Some of that is proportionate to your perspective today. And your training today, we are all in training. Every one of us is Christians, preparing us for eternity. We're not preparing just to get old and die. We're preparing to go on into everlasting life. And God's got a purpose and a plan for that. And this is what he's saying. He says, man, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. God's going to entrust things to you. Jesus is going to entrust little things to you and me to do. We're going to be active and doing things. It's not just hanging around. Yes, we're going to be worshiping him, and this is all exciting. So this is all happening as Jesus, you know, the rapture of the church takes place. We're taken up, and then as we finish up with this return of Jesus Christ, we're going to be entrusted with things to do. You know, you read through the millennial reign of Jesus in chapter 20 and 21. Well, it starts up kind of midway through chapter 19 of Revelation, and you start picking up. You see, man, there's so much going on. It's active. There's things happening. And he says, man, there's going to be blessing for those who are watching and waiting for him. But if that servant says in his heart, pick it up in verse 45, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Look at the latter part of this verse. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Wow. A lot of a responsibility, isn't there? A lot of accountability. Now, if you go to, you know, Marvin Milquetoast Fellowship somewhere, you know, where they don't teach the Word of God, and they just talk about these fanciful little stories and, you know, little sermony things that mean nothing really according to the Scripture. If you go to that group, maybe your accountability is going to be less. Maybe you'll be one of those who did not know much. You just weren't informed. Sorry, you're not in that group. Now you've got an accountability. Every time you come and you sit and you listen to the Word of God, every time you open your Bible and you read, you have got an accountability. That's why he said, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. God knows what you know and are aware of. Now, that's not some religious trip. That's not some, weird God's up there with a mallet ready to club me over the head because I'm not doing everything just right. If you're there, you have missed the whole point of this message. You're out to lunch. Come back. Because that's not what I'm talking about at all. That's not what God's talking about. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is that we would be in relationship with him, have fellowship with him, that we would be experiencing the fullness of this life and transferring on ultimately into eternity. And what a blessing that concept, that truth is. We serve a living God who wants to move in and through our lives for his glory. This idea here, though, is to be grabbing the instruction that I might, that we might, you might be a blessing and be useful in your master's hand. That you might really love your kids. That you might really love your parents, young people. That you might really see them in the light of who they really are. That they provide food and shelter and care about you. And parents, that you might actually really love them the way God intended for you to love them. That we might love one another the way God called us to love one another. That there's a purpose and a plan. That we're to engage in relationship in the right way that's a blessing and bears fruit to his glory. And we can experience the benefits of that as followers of Jesus Christ. That's God's desire. But the idea here in this context is, he started out talking about the importance of prayer in chapter 11. Then he went on and he started talking about, hey, you know, you guys, you got to be careful how you're seeing things, man. The religious, the self-righteous piety and all that stuff, they're not seeing things right, man. And Jesus is saying, you know, you really got to hone in on, get the right eternal perspective, seeing this earth the way it really is. And then he says, as a matter of fact, even though I'm going to be moving in and through you, and there's going to be blessing, and there's going to be prosperity, and there's going to be things going on, even though maybe you just have a little power, you know, the church isn't some big, radical, powerful force in this world today. I know that's new news to most of you, but this is true. There is power. Yes, we have power in the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you look at the global picture, what voice is there really? It's limited. It's limited. But God's saying, hey, get the right perspective of what's happening. Seeing Jesus for who he really is. Falling in love with him. And what are you focused on? You see, if we start slipping back into our old ways, playing the actor, playing the part, acting like we're real spiritual when God knows we're really not really even walking close with him. God knows all that. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. God knows our hearts. He knows what's going on within our lives today, right now. And he says, yeah, that's not happening. That's not producing anything good. And he says, be careful. Don't fall into that trap. That's religious, where they're trying to act like they're something they're not. He says, that's no good. That's not real. He says, be careful also of covetousness. And then he goes on and starts talking about these things here. Why? You see, your view of the rapture of the church, your view of Jesus' return, your view of this is very important. If you just kind of push it off and say, I don't see any possibility that he's coming back today, it can begin to produce a more carnal response to life. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He's saying that ultimately, verse 45, with the wrong perspective, if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, he says, the one who has that perspective on a negative side of this, he says, the one who thinks about the delaying or is not have any expectation or have that right view of the potential that Jesus could step in, he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. just says that, and it's not just about getting wasted. So pull your head away from that thought. It's not just what he's saying. He's just saying that he's just all engaged in this world and worldliness. That the perspective isn't on, man, I am telling you, as sure as we're standing here, some of us, and sitting, some of us, as sure as we're here together right now, as sure as we're together, I am absolutely certain if you were really assured in your heart that he could step back in the scene at any moment, and then maybe, perchance, which you don't and we won't, and you knew that there's 24 hours. You got 24 hours, man, to get it right and share whatever you can with anybody you could. What conversation would you have with that family member? You aren't going to care what religious head trip they're in. You're not going to care about anything. You're going to give them a few minutes. And you say, listen, I got about 89 more phone calls to make. And you're one of them. And this is how the cow ate the cabbage. And this is what's going down. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. He wants to have fellowship with you. You would try and be as articulate and as clear with every conversation you had. There would be an urgency because there's an expectancy that Jesus could step in right now, right this minute. And where would our head be? Oh, well, you know, I don't know when he's going to, you know, I don't know, you know. I don't even know. I don't know when. I don't know. That is apathy. That is apathy. And that is what, we have plenty of that all around us. God has not called me to that, and I do not believe he's called Christians to that. Followers, believers in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if I started running around in circles yelling tornado, and you really thought I was serious, you'd be looking around, where's the tornado shelter sign, you know? Right? You'd take action, right? You'd take some action. You wouldn't be just, well, I don't know. I don't like the way that reads. It doesn't fit with what I think. Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? What does God say? That's what matters. God says, look each day as you peep your eyes open, peepers, as you peepers your eyes open. Those of you here last week, go ahead and get the message. If you weren't, you'll know what peepers are. But as you get your eyes opened up in the morning, as you just kind of open your eyes up, you say, you know, wow, Lord, you might just step in on the scene today. What does your life look like when you live with that expectation, that potential? What matters most to you? You can just start rattling around, doesn't it? You start thinking, that's why Jesus is saying this. It starts to purge that carnality out of us. It starts to get rid of the hypocrisy. Man, I've got so many more calls to make, and I've got to be really clear with you. Yeah, but you're pretty kind of messed up. Yep, I know that. We're not here to talk about how messed up I am. We're here to talk about the reality of Jesus Christ, and he can change your life. You see, you and I drive past these people. You look at your neighbors and people around you. You just look and you just go, yeah, you know, they're pretty messed up, you know? And we just get this mentality that people are messed up, but what do you have? Do you have the living God within you? Do you believe that you're a special project? And that you were, some of us were more messed up than others, but if you were pretty messed up, that wow, God was just super gracious upon you and that, you know, no, God has so much grace, unmerited love and favor that he wants to shower on this world. But this whole thing is perspective. How are you and I seeing it? As you can tell, I get just a little bit excited about this kind of stuff. I feel very passionately about this because Jesus feels very passionately about this. Do you feel passionately in your heart about this? Only that's between you and God. Do you feel passionately about this? Does everything else, think of the time we spend doing all kinds of other things and not this thing. What is most important to you? You see, I've been given the gift of everlasting life. And those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ have been given that. It's yours. I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm fine. I know where I've got it. But I look around. I was standing in the store the other day. I was just watching people go by. And I was just watching, you know, I'm thinking, man, I'm just looking at people, just kind of watching them. I'm thinking, wow, do I even really care? You're not the only one that struggles with these thoughts. I mean, I really ask myself that. I ask the Lord. I mean, of course I really do. But I'm looking at these individual lives. we look at the mass of society as just a mass, but they're individuals just like you and me. You and I have the hope of everlasting life. This treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been entrusted to you and to me. It's a treasure. And man, God wants us to share that treasure with anybody and everybody that will listen. He says, man, don't, this is what, to whom much is given, much more is required. That's been entrusted to you. The response is not your responsibility nor mine. But we are to till the soil and to throw out the seed. Till the soil, throw out the seed. Till the soil, throw out the seed. And let God do the work. When I'm aware, when I'm thinking the way Jesus is talking here, that he could step back in the scene at any time, when I'm thinking that way, and when I've read through Revelation and the things that are going to come down on this earth during that 7-year period of time, I wish that upon no one. The worst person that you could find in the face of the earth, I wish that upon no one. Now, the reality is, I guess you kind of wonder is, do we really believe that those things are going to happen? Do we really believe that? Because if we believe that, I believe we're going to take action upon that. We're going to move forward. We're going to do something with it. Jesus says in verse 49, interesting word that he brings in now to this with this thought. He says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. It's referring to the cross itself. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Well, gosh, I thought he did, you know. Well, to those who will receive it, he is our peace, absolutely. I tell you, not at all, but rather division. He says, I'm not here just to make everybody get along and feel warm and fuzzy. Jesus, that's not why he's here. He's here to take dead men and women and give them life. He's here to take dead men and women and give them life. That's what he's here for. That's what he came to do. Not just to make your life comfortable and my life comfortable. Not to just make everything just be all smooth. Because as soon as you give your life to Jesus Christ, this starts to become real. Yes, there's this initial enthusiasm and excitement about our relationship with the Lord, but this becomes real. Read along with me for just a moment more. Do you suppose in verse 51 that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why? Because you are making that phone call, you see? With urgency, and they think you're whacked out. That's what they think. They think you're some extreme freak. Do you really care if you believe Jesus is coming at any moment? I don't. See, if I really believe this is happening, it really doesn't matter because I care more about their soul. I care more about their everlasting life. I'm more concerned about that than Jesus said in Philippians. Paul said about Jesus in Philippians, that he made himself of no reputation. What are you concerned about prior to making that call, prior to having that conversation? Well, I'm kind of concerned about what they might think. This is going to come off kind of extreme. Okay. And the point is, read that. Christ the divider. You know, this is part of what happens. That when you really make it clear, this position that I've chosen to follow Jesus Christ, there are those that will look at you and just say, wow, this is just craziness. You think, oh, Pastor Jim, it's easy to talk like, oh, wait a minute, back up about 25 years. My wife went to church her whole life. Grew up going to church, mainline, denominational, and never met Jesus Christ. What were they doing all this 25? I don't know. But did not meet the Lord. Maybe it was just the hardness of her heart. I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what happened. It wasn't that God wasn't mentioned or something, but it just never met the Lord. All her life, going to church. I grew up, I met the Lord, but got way distant from God, was not walking with God. But then, as time went by, the hounds of heaven started coming after me. And I gave my life back to Jesus Christ after a bad tour of duty in the world. It was bad. Wrecking my life and other people's lives that I came in contact with. The point I'm trying to make is that I remember very clearly. I took everything, I was a little bit of extremist, yes. I took everything very literally. Said, go into your prayer closet. I'd go into my closet and pray. I did. I just did that kind of thing. And just because that's what, I just did it. And I knew I was so messed up that I had to just go back to basic life and go to what really just the Word says. And I remember praying for my wife and praying for my wife. And it was a hellish year for me personally. I'm so desperately concerned that she doesn't know Jesus. And you can ask her about what that year is like. I never made some big, we would talk about God, we'd interact about God, all that stuff would go on. But I knew I can't save anybody. But man, there was a lot of warfare on my knees in that closet. I wish you'd just go back to living like we were. I liked it better when you used to drink. Those things hurt, man, when you're trying to fly right. And you're so messed up, and you know those things hurt. But that's reality. That's the real world. That's where we really live. I understand. Jesus understands. God understands. Our Father knows. This is real, but this is what it's all about. When push comes to shove, this is what it's all about. You know what? Right now, we're closing out service in just a couple of minutes. And I want, if there's anybody here that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ, wants to make a public profession and give your life to Jesus Christ, that's why we're here. I'm not here to play church with anybody or just make you guys feel good about anything. I'm here to introduce people to Jesus Christ also. That's one of the other things, primary things that we gather to do. We get fed the Word of God. Let's not just be fatzos on the Word. Let's be lean. Let's do what God's called us to do. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, that would like to give their life to Jesus Christ? I just want you to stand to your feet. We just want to pray a simple prayer of faith. I know this seems like, oh my gosh, this is abrupt. Well, I believe the Lord's speaking to some people here today. And this is your opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Believers, you should be praying and interceding on behalf of those who are here that do not know Jesus Christ. But this is your day. This is your opportunity to surrender and give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've known the Lord and just have walked away from God. You're not walking with God, but you know that God's calling you back and He wants to have a relationship with you. Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe you've grown up in this church and you just haven't given your life to Jesus. This is your opportunity. This is what we're here for. To follow the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which He sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and He wants to make Himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and He loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that He loves you with a perfect love. And He wants you to believe on Him and have everlasting life, that you can spend all eternity with Him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to You. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that You would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before You, Lord. I know I need You. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that You would just come in and make my life new. I thank You for salvation. I thank You for everlasting life that now is mine in You. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.